and we were talking about how central love is to our interactions with one another, how love is patient and kind. Paul gives us that description of love in 1 Corinthians 13. He says that it is so important, vital to ministry is to love the people you are ministering to. He says that you have all the knowledge and all wisdom, but you don't love. You have nothing. You give your body to be burned. You lay your life down, but you don't love the people you lay your life down for. Guess what? That is not good. So we talked about the importance of love. 1 John 4:7, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And on, we read through that. And that brings us to now the context of Romans 14, where Paul is going to talk to this church in Rome, who is made up of Jews and Gentiles, and about a few issues that they are having some disagreements on. There are different convictions. So, if you can turn in your Bibles to Romans 14, most of what we'll say is right here in your handout. So, Romans 14, we'll try to see how far we can get through on today. Okay. So, Romans 14, 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Okay, so let's think about this first text, the first few verses. How can a weak conscience equal weak faith? Why does Paul say weak in faith? Faith is trusting in God and in his promises, right? So when you have somebody who says that I can't eat meat because I feel like I'm sinning, or they're adding things that are extra biblical, that word, then that does signify a weakness in my faith in Christ and my faith in his word to a degree. So it is not preferable to be the weaker brother. That's not a good thing, and Paul goes through that as we talk. Weak in faith would suggest that somebody needs to be taught, and they need to fully trust in the word of God on this issue. Okay, so and imagine for a moment why the weaker brother in this case wouldn't eat meat. Whereas right now, if you just read that at first glance, you read that and you're like, that's weird. He just wants to be a vegetarian and he's making that a big issue? What's his problem? Why might that be something that we would understand?
This is referring to the meat sacrificed to idols. And so partaking in the consuming of meat could remind them of their past life, eating meat to idols, and bring up the heart issues that went along with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eating meat that was sacrificed to idols, if that person had a history of doing all kinds of worship of those idols, behaviors and other things that went along with that worship of that pagan god, and they want to separate their lives completely from that, and just the thought of eating meat that was sacrificed to an idol, what bring up those thoughts and bring up that whole past life, that would be wise for them to say, okay, I'm not gonna eat meat sacrificed to idols. That is an understandable restriction that they're imposing on themselves. Okay, so,
and so in that sense, is the weakness not necessarily a problem?
I I've got lost my notes. Sorry. Say that again.
So in that circumstance, the weakness is not necessarily a problem?
It would be, yeah, it wouldn't be a problem. It's not, they're not sinning by not eating meat. Right? That's not a sin issue. They are trying to worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. And eating that meat is so strongly associated with something that is not worshiping the Lord that they are like, no, I can't do it. So it's not a sin for them to refrain from eating that meat. That, yes, that's correct. David? Just kidding. Okay. Charlotte had a question. Okay. That was the question 9. So on page 4, how do you treat people with weak faith or a weak conscience, the weaker brother? What does Paul say there?
Quarrel.
You welcome him. You welcome the brother who is weak in faith. So that is the, again, undergirding all of our interactions is to welcome this brother in and love him. Not what a lot of times our default is to, let me fix this brother. Come here, let me tell you something. Let me just eat this hammer. We'll do it together. I'm going to help. No, that's not what he's doing. He's saying you welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Okay, so that is something that I'm not going to bring up this topic with this brother so that I can teach him my ways. I mean, God's ways, right? That's a wrong attitude to have. Paul says, welcome the brother who's weak in faith. Right? Welcome him, not to quarrel over opinions.
I'm kind of squirming here because I had a pastor once that did not believe in any backbeat. Okay, no drums, no even. If there's music that has any backbeat, sorry. So we had a VBS that had music that had a back. No, because I'm the weaker brother here. He used that. Mm-hmm. His whole family. You're gonna say, you know, that we have to have this, and I say no. Literally, we couldn't. It was pitiful. Okay, I'm just saying. And so what I'm saying is, then, anybody have any ideas what we could have? Do you remember that? Yes, you do. To me, that's hard, very hard, when your pastor is saying, I'm the weaker brother.
So, yeah, a couple things on that. That is not good. you do not want your
says
pastor.
The drummer.
Says the drummer. Yeah. Drummers are a gift from God. Oh, man. Yeah. Where is he? I'm a drummer.
I love drums. Okay.
So the problem with that is, again, my conscience is not to be applied to someone else. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is if you're the pastor or an elder of the church, you ought not to be the weaker brother.
I love that. Thank
right?
you.
Right? You shouldn't be, and that's just kind of a general statement. That does not mean that I might not have convictions that are different from yours or maybe more restrictive from someone else. That's not that. But I'm saying that if I feel like I'm the weaker brother on some issues, You're, and I'm in leadership here. That's not a good thing because I'm going to lead people where I am and where I'm headed. So that's not a good thing to do. R.C. Sproul had a good sermon along these lines about, and it's called The Tyranny of the Weaker Brother. And this will come out as we go through this week and next week. When a weaker brother who legitimately has a conscience issue goes to apply it to other people or where the problems happen. It is not a problem for a brother to prefer that music doesn't have drums in it. But if it's, I'm going to apply that as a standard for all of you to be on, that's I am applying my conscience issue to everyone else, and that's problematic, right? Not just for preferences, but for other things as well.
There would be no biblical standard for that either. If you ask, can you show me in scripture where it says that, and I wouldn't have any problem going along with it. But as far as I know, there's nothing about drums in scripture.
Yeah, well, the symbol is a reference, and that symbol's a good. I like symbols that long.
Go with
that. So, that might be another discussion for another worship music and things like that. And Scott Marshall had a good sermon on that a few months ago, maybe a year ago. So, you can go back and look at that. It's been a year. Yeah, so, but thinking about worship and those kinds of questions. So, I would commend that to you. We are to welcome those. Principle one would be to welcome those who are weak in conscience. Just think about what that means. How do I welcome somebody? Not to quarrel, but to love them. Okay? Paul says we're to avoid quarreling over opinions. Is this peace at all costs?
No.
Why not?
Not at tier one.
Yeah. So we are to have... What does it say? Don't quarrel over anything? Don't quarrel over opinions. Right? So that's going to be someone who, fairly common for young men to be quarrelsome. Right? So we want to fight about things. Some of those things might be good things to fight about. A lot of those things are not going to be good fun. So welcome them not to quarrel over opinions. And so it doesn't mean that we just want to have peace. We want to get consensus on everything. And we all, everybody just stands together. No, that will lead you definitely to falling away, unfaithfulness to Scripture. When we do that. We are not to quarrel over opinions. Oh, John.
I think Paul really fleshes out what to do with people like that in 2 Timothy. 24 and 25. So what do you do with people that have different opinions? He said the Lord, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel. What must he do? Be gentle to all, be able to teach. So I think you teach, have patient and humility correcting. So there's humility through our correction and to correct those who are in opposition. Perhaps God will grant them repentance and they will come to understand. So I think that's really the way forward for us in situations like this. Teach, correct, humble, you're gentle, you're patient, and you let God change them where they repent and come and know the truth.
Yeah. That's great.
That's not the way of the flesh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
the way of the flesh is like pound it in. You know, get him to see it.
Yeah. Say uncle. Yeah. We want to submit them. Yeah. So in this context here, what are the opinions that Paul's addressing specifically?
What they should eat.
Yeah. Meat, sacrifice idols, eat it or not eat it. Okay. So that's the opinion. So in verse 3, we see the temptations to the weak and the strong. So verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. So the stronger brother is tempted to do what?
Despise.
And that is to treat them as nothing. To discount them. To put them, whatever. I don't care. So that is that despise, the stronger conscience. The default of the flesh is to despise. How dare you try to put your conscience on me? Who do you think you are? Forget you. That is that despising. Stronger brother, do not despise the weaker brother. So, I can't believe that guy can't even eat meat. My goodness. That's despising the brother. Okay. So if you're a stronger brother, I can't believe that. They don't feel like they can listen to country music. What an immature, those are the natural instincts, and that's the natural bent, is to despise. So what about the weaker brother? The weaker brother is tempted to what?
Pass judgment.
Pass judgment, to judge them. Okay, so that weaker brother is like, they're not godly. Man, they're so sinful. He watched it. I told him that it was sacrificed to an idol, and he's eaten it anyway. Obviously, he doesn't love Jesus like I do. or he would forsake that. The natural bent towards the weaker brother is to judge the stronger brother. So those are the categories that we need to remember all the time. If you are the stronger brother, do not despise. If you are the weaker brother, do not pass judgment. Okay, so here's a quick scenario. Bert and Troy disagree on whether or not it is sinful to drink a glass of wine with dinner. If Bert has a stronger conscience and Troy has a weaker conscience, what would their temptations look like in practice? So let's go with Bert. He's got a stronger conscience. He believes he can drink a glass of wine. What does his temptation look like towards Troy?
Yeah.
So he might do it anyway, right?
Tell him Jesus drank wine. I mean, isn't that what they always say?
Yeah, I mean, he might make a comment like that.
Sure.
And what is he doing by making that comment? You are, get out of here with that. Yeah, that condescending, despising. Right? His default in this is going to be to despise his brother, demean him. Make light of him, his ideas or his opinions. What about for Troy? What is he going to be tempted to do and say in his heart? Maybe out loud.
Pass judgment.
You're sinning.
Yeah, you're in sin.
You
alcoholic,
yeah.
You drunkard. You can't believe, how can you say you follow Jesus and you're drinking wine? Clearly. So that's the kind of judgment that Troy is going to be tempted to do as he thinks about birth. Okay? Now, Paul's final statement in verse 3 reminds us of a very important truth. What is it and why should we care? Splits of these pages better. It says, let me read verse 3 for you. Let not the one who eats despise one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. That last statement. What is it? God has welcomed him. Now let the weight of that kind of sit in your mind for a second. That brother has been welcomed by God. So put yourself in the stronger brother's position for a second. To despise a brother that God has welcomed. That should weigh heavy on us. Okay, now go to the other side. I'm the weaker brother. To pass judgment on a brother that God has welcomed should weigh heavy on us. God has welcomed him.
So by the term brother here, we are talking saved?
Yeah, we're talking about believers here.
Sure, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is that both true with unbelievers?
No. I mean, at least at that moment, you need to evangelize them, but that person has not been welcomed by God, to your knowledge, right? If they are not in faith. So.
Does that change your response, though?
Go ahead. So what do you mean?
Does that change your response?
If there's an unbeliever to a believer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. If somebody is an unbeliever, I still am going to be gracious, but my aim is going to be evangelism rather than encouraging, fellowshipping, and sharpening. Like, this brother needs to know that he is under the wrath of God. I'm going to start that conversation differently than I would for a brother who is, if I'm at dinner with a brother and he gets wine, I might start that question with, hey, I see that you're drinking wine there. Tell me about that. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts about alcohol for a believer and what the role that plays out? Now, that if I'm asking that question, that's a good place, and it might be me that has the change of heart. Maybe he raises a point that I think is really good. And maybe that starts me on a path of learning and thinking and praying about my opinion on that. But if it's an unbeliever, I'm not going to worry about the alcohol specifically so much. I'm going to worry about his soul before a holy God, because if he's not a believer, it's not just alcohol that's his problem. It's all of the things. So all of these sin issues that are storing up the wrath of God that is going to be poured out on him if he does not repent at the time of his death. Does that make sense? Good question. Okay. We have a couple more minutes. Let's just go ahead and read this next part. This is where we'll start next week then. So who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Okay, so, principle two, just remembering, okay, we're just to review. Principle one was we welcome our brothers, not to quarrel. And principle two is God has welcomed your brother and is able to make him stand. So this is really important for us to keep that in mind when we're talking about these conscience issues. Who is he accountable to? He's accountable to the Lord, and the Lord is able to make him stand. So we'll pick up there next week. Thank you, everybody.